Very good. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I know we're starting a new year, and with the new year is a freshness and excitement about what the new year will bring. I did stay up long enough on New Year's Eve to welcome in the new year, and then Kelly and I turned out the light and went to sleep. That's how we celebrate the new year now. We don't party into the night. And we're just glad that the kids are in bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock, and there's peace and quiet for a few hours before we go to sleep on New Year's Eve. But with the new year comes excitement and a freshness. And I think that's part of what the Lord does in His mercy to us and His grace. He gives us newness in our lives from time to time. Really, every day we have a new day, a fresh start, a fresh beginning. In the book of Psalms, you see from time to time a new song. A new song. That has more to do with a freshness, a newness in that there is revival, there's renewal. And with the new year, there's all these promises and resolutions and vows and such. But often what happens in the new year is we get going and we get off to a great start, and then weariness sets in, right? And sometimes the weariness is new as well, because it starts right at the beginning of the year, because everybody's tired from the holidays. And sad to say, the world parties hard at New Year's. It's sad when you see the celebrations, just the glimpses on TV and in the news. The world parties hard. And so there's even a weariness from sin that comes into the new year. In spite of all the resolutions and vows, and this is going to be the best year of our lives, and on and on. And we love the freshness and the excitement of a new year, but often the weariness sets in sooner than we'd like to think. We get off to a running start, a shotgun start, so to speak, and then just a few laps into it, we begin to slow down and we get weary. And because of the flesh, because of the pressures of life and the adversity from the world, the flesh and the devil, we can become weary in well-doing. Galatians 6 in verse 9 admonishes us not to be. Galatians 6 in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity," verse 10 says, "let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That word faint in verse 9, it means to lose courage or to lose heart. In 2 Corinthians 4 in verse number 1, that same word is used. It's the idea of abandoning oneself to cowardly surrender. Abandoning oneself to cowardly surrender. Giving up quickly, easily. Laying down the arms. Losing courage. Losing heart. It's, as I said already, easy to get weary in the Christian life because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And there is much resistance to live right and to live pure in this world, isn't there? We are, as believers in this day and age, we are swimming upstream. And the stream is a sewer. And we are trying to live purely going upstream in the midst of this sewage of this world. And if we're not careful, we can become weary in doing well. Everyone, it seems, is looking for an easier way to do things. And sadly, that even can creep into the Christian life, and we want the easy way to be spiritual. And there really isn't an easy way. There really isn't a quick fix. You can't just pop a pill and become spiritual, become godly. It requires daily disciplines of the Christian life. And unfortunately, those daily disciplines, they can become very dutiful and demanding. They just become routine. They just become ritualistic if we're not careful. We can become weary in doing well in the things that are good, the things that are right, that we should be doing. They just become a matter of duty. They just become old hats. And we just go through the motions. We are warned to not be weary in well-doing. Maybe you're already feeling some wearisome just a few days into the new year as a result of some circumstances or something that's going on in your life right now. Let's look at some aspects of weariness tonight. We'll deal with some negatives, and then I really want to end on a positive. But first of all, weariness will resist the strength to endure. Weariness will resist the strength to endure. 1 Kings chapter 19, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 19 tells the story of Elijah. He had just been up on the mountain, Mount Carmel, where God had brought down fire and burned up the altar, and Ahab and Jezebel, who had brought Baal worship in, there were 400 prophets of Baal, and Elijah slew them there on that mountain. What a great victory. God poured out His judgment, but He declared His supremacy over those false gods, over the idolatry of Baal. And Elijah came down from that mountain, and verse number 1 of 1 Kings 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Jezebel says in verse 2, sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And what's Elijah do? And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, sat under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Weary in doing well. Weariness will resist the strength to endure. Elijah said, I have, by God's strength, won a great victory. And that's just like Satan. He'll attack you on the mountaintop. We should take heed lest we fall. He'll get you when you're down, and he'll get you when you're up high. He wants to bring you down from that mountaintop experience in your life. And here's Elijah now. He is weary in doing well. I think of King Saul and the army of Israel. As they looked across that valley, and the Philistines were on the other side, and there was a giant by the name of Goliath who stood in that valley day after day and mocked God and said, if you send out your greatest soldier and he defeats me, then we will be your servants. But if I defeat your greatest soldier, then we will be your servants. And King Saul and the entire army of Israel stood on the other side of that valley with their box of Huggies diapers and their pacifiers and said, we cannot defeat that giant. And cried boo-hoo and said, Lord, what are we going to do? We can't defeat that giant. He's too big. He's over there saying all those mean things. Weary and doing well. And along came a little shepherd boy by the name of David, who heard the mockings of that giant and said, how can you stand here and let that man mock our God? And David said, I come before you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And he threw that stone with that sling and killed that giant. How easy we can become weary in doing well and give up, lose courage, lose hearts, become discouraged. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Adversity comes. Adversity comes. And weariness will resist the strength to endure. Secondly, tonight, weariness will ruin the spirit of caring. Galatians 6, we were just there, and I don't know if any of you turned to 1 Kings 19, but Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. He's saying, if you grow weary in well-doing, you are going to quit caring for others. You're going to cease to do good to men. And this is often where weariness affects us. We become sick of people, tired of the problems and the shortcomings of others. We become unforgiving and bitter. And we start to be short and curt and don't have the love of 1 Corinthians 13 that bears all things and endures all things, that is long-suffering and kind. Weariness will ruin the spirit of caring for others. I think of Jesus who stayed late. Mark chapter 1. Late into the night after the sun was set. And they brought multitudes of people to him. And he healed them all. Late into the night. And what amazes me is in Mark 1. After the description of Jesus staying up and healing the multitudes, all that came unto them, and it says he rose up early the next morning and went into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Wow. He did not get weary. He did not allow weariness to ruin the spirit of caring. He did not get weary in doing well. He stayed up late and ministered and healed and then rose up early the next morning and spent time with his Lord. What an example. Weariness will resist the strength to endure. Weariness will ruin the spirit of caring. But thirdly, weariness will reveal the sin within. Weariness will reveal the sin within. Demas got weary on the missionary trip, didn't he? And Paul had to say, sadly, in 2 Timothy 4, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Sin. It can be revealed through weariness. When we become physically and spiritually tired and worn out, the flesh shows, doesn't it? It's hard to be spiritually strong when we're physically tired. I had a professor in college who said, and he said it very well, and I've seen it true in my own life. He said, rarely am I spiritual when I'm physically exhausted. It's much harder to be spiritual when physically exhausted. He said, there's times where I'm physically healthy and strong and I'm still fleshly, okay? He said, but rarely am I spiritually strong when I'm physically exhausted. And we can become physically tired. And I want to address this later. But we become spiritually tired as well. Sometimes you hear the phrase burnt out. That's often a code phrase in a sense for weariness and doing well. And weariness can reveal the sin within because of the flesh that dwells within all of us. And because in our flesh dwells no good thing, and because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, when we get weary in doing well, the flesh can show. And that sin that's within the heart can come out as we snap or get angry or lose our cool or become impatient and frustrated. And as I've already mentioned, it will ruin the spirit of caring that weariness will affect our relationships, particularly with those who are closest to us. If we react wrongly to the stress and the pressure and the frustrations of life, if we react wrongly or react in a wearisome way, we will reveal the sin within our hearts. And we're like the tea bag that goes down into that hot boiling water. And as it steeps in that hot boiling water, what happens? What's in the tea bag comes out. And sad to say, weariness will do that. The flesh will come out. Weariness will resist the strength to endure. It will ruin the spirit of caring. It will reveal the sin within. And number four, weariness will rob the saint of his reward. Weariness will rob the saint of his reward. I don't usually like to quote something quite this lengthy, but I thought it was very good. Matthew Henry said this about this passage in Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Here is a further caution given to us not to be weary in well-doing, as we should not excuse ourselves from any part of our duty, so neither should we grow weary in it. He says we shouldn't neglect our duty as Christians, but neither should we grow weary in it. There is in all of us too great a proneness to this. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And that song, it later says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. There's a proneness to getting weary in well-doing. He goes on to say, there is in all of us too great a proneness to this. We are very apt to flag and tire in duty, yea, to fall off from it, particularly that part of it to which the apostle has here a special regard, that of doing good to others. He's saying that we are particularly prone to becoming weary in doing good to others. That's often where it first shows up, this weariness. This, therefore, he would have us carefully to watch and guard against. And he gives this very good reason for it, because in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Where he assures us that there is a recompense of reward in reserve for all who sincerely employ themselves in well-doing. There is a reward in doing well. That this reward will certainly be bestowed on us in the proper season. If not in this world, yea, undoubtedly in the next. But then that it is upon supposition that if we faint not in the way of our duty. He said he can't expect a reward in heaven if we're fainting in our duty here. If we grow weary of it and withdraw from it, we shall not only miss of this reward, but lose the comfort and advantage of what we have already done. But if we hold on and hold out in well-doing, though our reward may be delayed, yet it will surely come and will be so great as to make us an abundant recompense for all our pains and constancy. It will be worth it all, is what he's saying. Note, perseverance in well-doing is our wisdom and interest, as well as our duty. For to this only is the reward promised. Wow, that's good. Weariness will rob the saints of his reward if we're not careful. But I don't want to end on a negative note. I really want to give us some hope and some strength from the Word of God tonight. Weariness can be relieved of its power. Weariness can be relieved of its power. First of all, through prayer. Luke 18 and verse 1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. When you're weary, the best place to be is not in bed trying to sleep it off, though you may need that, and I want to address that. But the best place to go when you're weary is on your knees. It's to be there praying when you're about to faint. When you see a loved one who's struggling physically and you wonder, when is it ever going to end? And you go to the Lord and he faints not to be faithful, though inside we want to faint. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Yeah, we struggle. We all get weary. But the first place we need to go is to the Lord in prayer and trust Him. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Also, in that prayer, I think we need to search our hearts. We need to ask for forgiveness and accept God's forgiveness. Sometimes we get up off our knees after confessing our sins, and we're still we refuse to accept God's forgiveness. We refuse to accept the promise of 1 John 1:9 that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Often weariness will get us down, and though we pray and though we ask for forgiveness, we don't accept it. We don't trust in the promise of God that He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Weariness can be relieved of its power through prayer, through forgiveness of sin, and also by maybe re-examining our priorities a little bit. Maybe the weariness has set in because we've let some of the cares of this world get between us and our Savior. Maybe we ought to ask ourselves some questions. Am I seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Am I laying up treasures in heaven? Is my affection set on things above? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Maybe your treasure's been in the things of this world, and maybe that's why you've become weary and you've taken your eyes off of the Lord. Weariness can be relieved of its power through prayer, through forgiveness, through examining our priorities, making sure our priorities are right. Fourthly, by looking to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:1 says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love Psalm 23. In the midst of a trial, we can turn to our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And He's faithful to restore your soul and lead you in those green pastures and take you beside the still waters and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Look to Jesus. Wait upon the Lord. In looking to Jesus, wait on Him. We know the verse very well in Isaiah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In looking to Jesus, wait on Him. Remember the promise of Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Go to Romans 8 and look at the list. And the conclusion is, nothing can separate you from God's love. In looking to Jesus, wait on Him. Remember the promise that nothing can separate you from His love. And remember that your citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, Philippians 3 and verse 20 says. Conversation there meaning our citizenship. Remember, ultimately, you are a citizen of another kingdom. This is not all there is. And that leads me to another aspect of looking to Jesus, that's looking forward to heaven, remembering that this life is only temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what a great passage. What a way that the Lord used this chapter to minister to my heart in preparation for this tonight. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. He just went on in the early part of this chapter talking about all that he had been through, Paul says, all the things. And he goes on in verse 17 and says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Looking unto Jesus by waiting on Him, remembering the promise that nothing will separate you from His love, by remembering your citizenship is in heaven, by looking forward to heaven, remembering that this life is only temporary. Weariness can be relieved of its power through prayer, through forgiveness, examining your priorities, looking to Jesus, but also resting physically. You know, Elijah in 1 Kings 19 was tired. And the angel came and ministered to him and gave him a meal. And he went in the strength of that 40 days. I like to see one of these power drinks or power bars do that. You know, 40 days he went in the strength of that food. I don't think any of those monster, whatever it's called, you know, or the Snickers marathon bars can get anything close to that. But Elijah needed rest. God didn't rebuke him. Elijah needed to rest. He needed to take care of his body, his temple. And God gave him food. And sometimes we forget that there is a principle of rest in creation. We don't worship on the Sabbath day, the Saturday Sabbath, right? But Sabbath means rest, and God incorporated rest into our bodies. He created us that way. God didn't need to rest, but He did it as an example and to show us our need. We can wear ourselves out physically. Psalm 127 in verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep." Now, obviously, Proverbs 6 says, don't be lazy, right? We shouldn't, obviously, slumber. We're to go to the ant, thou sluggard. We're not to be a sluggard. But we do need to take care of our bodies physically, get the rest we need. And sometimes there is simply a physical aspect as well to recovering from weariness or avoiding weariness. Prayer, forgiveness, our priorities, looking to Jesus, physical rest. But you know what? Weariness can be relieved of its power by praise. Through praising the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. We know the verse well, but it goes on in verse 19, after we're told to be filled with the Spirit, be not drunk with wine, as we read in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We're to be edifying and building each other up. We're to be singing, we're to be praising the Lord in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when it's hard, give praise to the Lord. I'm almost out of time, so I don't have time to read the whole excerpt of George Washington when he went to Valley Forge and it looked like there was no hope for the American cause in the war for independence. But though Valley Forge was a time of testing for the American cause of freedom, and though it would have been easy to give up, George Washington, determined to persevere, inspired his men to take courage and to stick together. He never left the camp, but suffered along with his men and continually looked after their needs until the winter had passed. In May of 1778, George Washington received word that the French Navy had agreed to help the colonies. Washington called for a day of thanksgiving to God. And he said this, "It has pleased the Almighty Ruler of the universe propitiously to defend the cause of the United States by raising up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth." And we know the painting well of seeing George Washington on his knees in the snow in that brutal winter at Valley Forge. But his faith was in God, and he praised the Lord. And he determined to persevere. And really, we are benefits to this day of that. And we can thank the Lord for a man like George Washington. And we too, with the Lord's help, that same God is our God, who can do the same for us. Praise the Lord. Renew your mind. Romans 12:2. Another way to relieve weariness of its power in your life is to renew your mind. And how else can you do that but through the Word of God? Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then another way to relieve weariness of its power, minister to others. Because often what happens when we get weary, we can tend to become very self-focused and begin to throw a pity party for ourselves and have self-pity. And often what can help break us out of that is to minister to others. Galatians 6:10, Paul says, be faithful there, he says, to do good. As we have therefore opportunity, he says, throughout your life, really, is what he's saying there. Throughout your life, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. There's people all around this church whom you can minister to. We all influence somebody. Pastor reminds us of that often. We all affect somebody's life or lives. Are we ministering to others? It's a great way to combat weariness. We just read Ephesians 5:21, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be faithful to church. It's a great way to help combat weariness. So be faithful to the Lord's house and be with other believers who come alongside and help and encourage and to hear the Word of God preached and to just to spend time with others who know your God the way you do. There's a blessing in that. I love coming to church. And I hope my kids grow up to love coming to church. I want that in them so badly. I love this church. I love being a part of this ministry. And it is a blessing to minister and to rub shoulders with good, godly men on staff here. It's such a blessing. And there's admonishment often and sharpening of iron, and it's just a reward from the Lord. It's a mercy. It's His grace. And we can be like that as we minister and edify and build up each other. The Lord made us to have fellowship. He really did. That's part of being created in the image of God. Be faithful to church. Paul said at the end of his life in Acts 20 in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry. Paul said, I'm going to finish the course with joy. The ministry he's called me to, none of these things are going to move me. May we have that same determination. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 58. We know the verse well. And I leave you with this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's not be weary in well-doing this year. Let's combat weariness, relieve it of its power through these steps. May they be a part of our lives. And may we continue, as we have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's close with prayer.